Hey, what's going on, you guys?
She's sitting here talking to me. What's up?
Yeah.
Pookie's talking.
You know how she does, like, because as soon as we start thinking, as soon as we turn the ceiling fan on, she gets, like, all talkative about it. Like,
she's like, look.
Look, the fan's on. I don't like it. It's going to fall on me. Then she just starts complaining about it.
Yeah.
Poor little baby.
I barely made the show. I was in there, totally forgot I had to do a show. I had to go run and put pants on. Yeah, had to put pants on.
Well, I guess it's a good thing I'm got
tired
up, like,
of wearing shorts.
Like,
I don't like wearing shorts on the
like 10
show.
Minutes before, and it's like, because sometimes I usually just like trust you to like look at the clock and come in here when it's time. But
no, I'll get all wrapped up into something else and just forget where the fuck I'm going. I'll forget that the show is even happening.
You forget your own name. Yeah. You'll forget your identity.
Yeah.
Probably. I don't know. I'm speculating.
We rewatched this episode.
Yeah, it's really weird because I know we watched this episode again, like, recently, because remember we were doing, because I think we watched, like, a handful of them, like, a month or two ago, because we were trying to decide which one to do, and this was one of the ones we were going to do, and I could have sworn, because when we were first, like, watching it, I was like, I could have sworn, like, I wrote notes for this, but I guess I didn't. Like, maybe I started writing notes, and then, like, we decided to do another show.
Yeah, we watched this whole one, and then we got done, we're like, this one is very vague, there isn't a lot of things that we know happened in this story. It's just kind of a vague story, if I remember correctly. So we decided, let's not do this one, let's do another one. I think that's what we decided.
Yeah.
Because there weren't, I remember this not really having any kind of like hard facts to it. Unless I'm confusing it with another one.
Well, this one is very much like a possession type of story.
Yeah.
And the thing about it is that there's not, like, a lot of outside verification or anything on it, because the actual woman that's at the center of it is in shadow. Like, her and her sister on there being interviewed, but they didn't want their real names used. And now, there are real people. Like, John Zaffis is on there. Like, you know, we'll talk about him in a minute. And I think, like, the guy that did the exorcism, like, Father what the fuck was his name?
Yeah.
I have it written down somewhere. But Eldritch, something like that. He, like, it's not that. It's not that. It's like, it starts, but it starts with the EL, though. But yeah, he was kind of like on there, too, like talking for a few minutes. But I don't really know, like, what this woman's real name is.
Yeah, if I remember thinking that there weren't any kind of independent witnesses and stuff with this case. It's like a good story, but I think that when we looked at this, we were looking for a different kind of case, and we decided this wasn't like what we were looking for, I think.
Well, like I said, this is more like a straight-up possession story.
Yeah.
Like, as opposed to, like, a more haunted house style kind of thing. Danny Rowling said the sister was about to pill Cosby, her possessed sister, with holy water and the iced tea. For some reason, that really, really made me laugh. Like, in this episode that she was... I think I even wrote my notes that she put some, like, stealth holy water, like, in the iced tea.
Yeah, that's funny.
Which is weird, like, why... I don't understand why she would do that, because, like, I mean, we'll get to
testing.
Well, yeah, but no, but, I mean, the thing about it was that the, you know, ostensibly possessed sister, like, came in and, like, tried to drink holy water, like, on her own. So why, I didn't understand, like, why the sister was trying to sneak.
I don't know.
I don't get it. We'll get into that in a little
bit.
You
had to be there.
I guess. Yeah, because I was like, well, that's what I thought was funny. I was like, why is she doing that? It's like, you know, she tried to drink the holy water before, just like right out the holy water little bottle.
Right.
Which is funny. I never thought about, like, just drinking holy water. Even though it's obviously just water, for Christ's sake. But I just thought it was like... It's like, you're...
To a demon, though, you know. Ah, it burns!
Don't drink my holy water? God damn it. Now I gotta go, like, down to the fucking cathedral and get some more.
Yeah.
You know what a pain in the ass that is? Do they have, like, big gallon jugs of holy water? I'm sure they must.
Probably, yeah.
Like, I would
think... Because then they bless it all at once.
That's what I'm saying.
And then it's just blessed, yeah.
Yeah, because they just get the priest in there and just, like, bless, like, the whole tub full. So
well,
then they
go,
can just, like, scoop it out
when you
of
go
it.
Into the church on the right in the doorway, I think there's a little, like, cistern of it. That
yeah.
And you touch, you bless and shit, and, you know, purify yourself.
Yeah, like, with all that. I don't know, I'm not a Catholic. But I'm just saying, like, this is a very Catholic kind of story. Well, I always kind of wondered that, but then, I don't know why that's so amusing to me, but I was thinking to myself, like, not only holy water, like, they'd have to have, like, a constant supply of that, but you'd also have to have, like, the communion wafers, right? So they have to have, like, some place that produces those, and they have to get, like, big shipments of them.
Yeah, and they don't taste good. I've had them, the communion wafers.
Well, don't they just kind of just taste like nothing?
It's like a cracker, and they're not salted.
I mean, why don't they just use, like, Nilla wafers or something?
No, it's got to be a cracker. It's got to be bread. You know.
Well, why don't they use good bread? Like, why don't they use, like, some focaccia or something?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You'd think
Jesus focaccia.
Season it. They don't season it.
Because they like suffering and they don't like joy? Is that what it is?
It's kind of like that Yiddish bread, unleavened bread, cracker. You know what I mean? It's like a cracker without any salt on it. Jewish people know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know the name of that, but it's...
You put some gefilte fish on it or something. It's like that.
Yeah, it's... What the fuck is that thing called?
Not matzah.
No. I used to know the name of that.
It's like that.
Yeah. I'll probably think of it, like, in 5 minutes.
It's good with something on it, but they just put it on your tongue. It's just this ritual, ceremonial thing, you know?
I know, but like I said, if you're going to go the whole hog, I mean, you know, the Catholic Church is like, they have like all these pretty stained glass windows and all the like pimping outfits and stuff like that. You'd think they could at least like have some fancy fucking communion wafers that taste like fucking, they can make them little sliders. They could, I mean, you know, get creative. Get creative with the shit.
Jenny's doing fucking critiques on Catholic ritual. Come on.
I'm just saying. There's lots of ways you could go with that. Granther says, the church I was forced to attend always served stale white bread and grape juice instead of wine. I was robbed. Yeah, I think a lot of churches did back in the day. That's what I heard. Like I said, I didn't grow up Catholic, and I only knew, like, a couple of people
Kevin
that were.
Kevin chimes in. It's called matzos.
Yeah,
that's
okay.
What I thought it was, yeah.
I suspected that was right, but then I was like, well, maybe not.
Yeah. It's real thin and crispy.
Yeah.
Like a saltine cracker, but thinner.
You know what's weird? You can buy those at the grocery store.
Yeah.
But you can't buy communion wafers.
Almost kind of like a big Pringle, if I remember correctly. No, it wasn't. It was more like a big saltine cracker.
Now, see, that would make a good communion wafer.
Yeah.
A Pringle. Well, they could do the same thing. Like, they could make it like a Pringle, but, like, not in the saddle shape. They could make it in the communion wafer shape.
Yeah,
you could. Because that's just made of, like, potato flakes that are kind of, like, pressed together.
Yeah, the name of them is called Holy. The flavor is holy.
Holy Pringles.
Holy. Yeah.
I mean, you know, more people might go to church then if you had, like, you know, lay out some dip. You could have a whole fucking...
Holy.
You could have a whole fucking party tray going on. Mark says, coming from a rural Irish Catholic family, I can confirm, in a religious household, the more holy water, the better.
Yeah.
That's just... That's just kind of funny that, like, you'd always have some holy water. Well, I don't know why. Like I said, I guess because I didn't grow up Catholic, so I didn't really know anybody that grew up Catholic. Yeah. So it's like, I'd seen it in movies and shit, but I just thought it was funny that someone would, like, come in someone else's house and be like, where's mom's holy water? You know what I mean? It's like, that was, like, really, really funny to me. I don't know why.
Donovan's going, it has a great crunch. I say, you put, like, Baba Ganoush on it. Mediterranean food.
Yeah, that sounds good, actually.
Yeah.
Grampther says, also, my grandmother always declined communion. Looking back, she was a secret apostate. Sneaky. Mm. Danny Rowling said, Jenny should drive her Taurus like the mom in this episode drove hers and give Tom the ride of his life.
It's that same car.
This is, like, exactly, same that same is car. Exactly my same car.
Probably the
Might
same
even
year.
Be the same year.
Might be the same year.
I have an old ass car.
Florida has cooked the paint off of the fucking front of
my poor car.
The trunk and the fucking hood. Everywhere else it looks brand new except the fucking all the clear coat paint has boiled off the fucking hood.
Yeah.
And then rust has taken over the back of the damn trunk.
It's a 2004.
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost 20 years
old. And repainting that car, I mean, it's silver, you know, repainting it, I don't think it'd be worth it. It'd probably be cheaper just to get a new hood and trunk out of a junkyard from another state that's silver and just bolt that in place.
Probably.
Look new again. The car doesn't look old. This fucker's last forever. You get in it, though, and you realize how dated the interior is versus other cars.
Yeah, it's still got a cassette deck in it.
Got a cassette deck in it. It's like going back in time.
Although you can, like, you can buy those things, because I bought one at, what is that place? Like AutoZone or whatever. You can buy a thing that's like a cassette tape, but like you hook it up to your cell phone and you can like play music through there. So that's what I was doing for a long time. But
it's funny.
But I don't use the car enough anymore, so I don't have Pandora anymore or anything like that. But like that's what I used.
Rarely
to do.
Use it.
We basically only use it like to go out a couple times a month, like, and
yeah, that's it.
And every now and then I drive to a grocery store or Dollar General.
I'm like, I could buy another car, but then I'm thinking like. That's just another bill. That thing's working.
Yeah.
You know? I computed it out and thought that, and it made sense to where it'd be cheaper to just rent a car.
Whenever
we needed one. They even have services that they'll drive the rental to you.
Yeah. Usually Enterprise will do that. I don't know about the other ones, but I know I've had that Enterprise.
Yeah, in the time I was looking at that, it was only like a couple of years ago. It may have changed now. It would have been cheaper for us to just use rentals because there's no worry about maintenance or tires or oil changes.
Or insurance. I don't have to pay insurance every month.
Yeah.
Which
just
I
bring me
that.
A car. I need a car overnight, and then, you know, it'd be about $70 or $80 back in those days, I think, and it would still be cheaper than a car payment at the rate that we were using it.
Yeah, because like I said, we really only use it
three or four nights a month.
Yeah, and like it's nice to have like to drive up to the grocery store. Mm-hmm. Now the Dollar General is you could walk to that if you had to. But you could technically walk to the Publix if you had to. But
everything
it's
else
kind of far.
I could use motorcycles for a lot of stuff too because I got motorcycles; they're all paid for.
That's true.
I just got to get saddlebags for them. But the thing is that shopping on a motorcycle is fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Now, if you had a trailer, hooked up a trailer hitch on the back of the motorcycle, they have those little two-wheeled trailers. I know the motorcycles I have are not great candidates for that, but you could shop at that.
I mean, I used to, before I had a car, I used to walk. I lived within walking distance of a grocery store, but it was still kind of a pain, like, because you had to walk, because you couldn't buy, like, a fuck ton of stuff, and you had to, like, bring stuff back, like, in a rolling cart or, like, a backpack or something like that, and you couldn't buy any fucking ice cream or nothing like that.
We are sidetracking like a motherfucker on
what else
this
is
already.
New?
Okay.
What else is
it's
new?
Okay, people are in here.
What else is new? Yeah. I mean, well, the whole reason we got started talking about that was because we were talking about the holy water, and then I got off into communion wafers, and then we started talking about food again.
Yeah.
Somebody because I was like, why didn't they make them good?
Somebody mentioned sidecars. Sidecars are extremely unstable, and they ruin a motorcycle's handling. They're very outdated. It's better to trail something behind you. If you got to have it, it's got to be on a damn universal, kind of like a U-joint swivel and two wheels. They have gold wings that carry them around in the back, but you could hook something like that up on a sport bike if you wanted to. Cruiser.
But that's the thing. That's the best scene in this episode is that scene where she's driving that kid around and like fucking just she's not even like looking at the road and she's just like staring at him the whole time. I have to say, like, the actress in this, I don't know if she was in any other
she's in other ones.
I thought she was in some other episodes. But man, she crushed it in this one. Yeah. She really like committed to the whole possession thing, and she was super, super creepy in that fucking scene where she was like driving the kid around.
She's in a bunch of them. She always plays like the mom type of deal or the realtor or, you know, she plays a bunch of different roles. She's good.
I'm going to have to look her up like on IMDb because especially like in the kind of like final scene of this where they're doing the exorcism, I was like, wow, she really, she leaned into that, man. She was like, yep, I'm fucking possessed.
She's kind of sexy too. Something about her is kind of sexy, kind of creepy, sexy.
Creepy, sexy.
Yeah.
Crexy.
Yeah, she's crexy. She was probably in her 40s when she was doing this, so she's probably pushing 60 now.
Yeah, because I think that this episode, well, geez, this was season 3, episode 8. So what was season 3? 2006, 2007?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so she's probably, like, way older right now. It's funny, it's funny how, like...
Time flies.
How time flies and how old these are. Because it's like we watch them all the time, so it just seems like...
They don't seem that
recent.
Old.
They don't seem that old.
Yeah. And you look at the cars and you're like, no, these are pretty old.
Yeah, I was like, oh, look, that's like my old-ass car.
Yeah.
But, you know, what are you going to do? My poor little car. At least it's still running. Yeah. I don't like to say anything about it I'll jinx it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Now, I did have, like, the kind of side panel on the passenger side door, like, keeps falling off.
Yeah, I had to glue that back in position.
I don't know. It doesn't do anything, so I just kind of threw it in the back seat.
It's a trim piece.
Right.
No, I put that shit in there, man. It looks tacky. The heat gets to everything here over time, and the heat destroyed the glue.
Yeah, everything just keeps, like, cracking off. Yeah. And
it just, if that car was red, it'd be long destroyed now. The red never survives Florida.
Well, that's why a lot of people just buy white ones.
Yeah, it just becomes pink, and then it becomes then the paint just burns off of it.
Yeah.
Down to the bare metal. Yeah.
Danny Rowling said she became a Karen to the boyfriend when she was going to blame him for her injuries. Now, see, I was trying to remember, because I watched this last night, and then I watched it again, like, real quick, like, this morning when I was doing the notes. But I was just kind of like, I think after that point, like, we don't see that guy anymore. Like, he was just like, fuck that, I'm out. I don't care if you're possessed or not. Or did he come back later? I don't think he did.
To be honest, I was pretty loaded when I was watching this movie.
No shit, you were.
This episode. I'd seen it several times, many times, actually.
Well, maybe you'll remember good, like, when I... And you dozed off again.
Yeah, at the very end, I started dozing off.
I think that happened, like, the last time we were watching a movie. He's like, well, you can't tell because he's, like, sitting, like, kind of on his side like that. And he had his hand, like, up like that.
Yeah, I was watching it, yeah.
And then, like, I was making a joke or something. And, like, he didn't laugh or, like, react. And I was like, okay. And then, like, I looked like that. And he was sleeping. And then, like,
I was at the Oasis. I got pretty trashed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, like, after that.
Yeah.
Because, well, you know, then, like, after that, like, the credits rolled and I got up to go to the bathroom and I came back and he was still there going.
Yeah, sleeping.
Like that, just, like, kind of sitting up. And I was just like, okay. I was like, and then he woke up and I was like, well, do you want to watch Dracula? Because that's what we're going to talk about tomorrow. No, too tired. And it was like, what was it? It was like 8:45.
Yeah.
And then he just fell asleep.
Went in the man cave and fell asleep and woke up at, like, 2 o'clock in the morning.
Fell asleep in the man cave.
Yeah.
I watched a whole other movie.
Yeah,
that I was going to review. And then
I think I heard you turn the TV off, and I came in bed.
I don't remember what time you did because
I remember I got in bed there. I think you were still awake. No,
I don't think so because I don't remember you coming in there.
Yeah. Okay.
And then I woke up at like 3:45 because I had to go to the bathroom again, and then I couldn't get back to sleep, so I laid there for hours and hours. And then I think I fell asleep for like 30 minutes, but then I woke up at like 7.
Yeah.
So, you know, so I'm a little bit tired. But, you know, what else is new? I'm kind of like used to it at this point. But yeah, all right. So let's get into talking about The Possessed, Season 3, Episode 8 of A Haunting. So this. All of this situation supposedly took place in the fall of 2000. Now, again, this one had the woman that was at the center of it is, you know, in shadow, so she's not using her real name. So, you know, John Zaffis is on there. He's using his real name, obviously. There's, like, a priest on there who did the exorcism on her. He was using his real name, presumably. But the other people, not so much. So there wasn't, like, a lot of supplemental material about this one. So the name that they gave her was Mary Volkman, and she is a paranormal investigator. Now, at the very beginning of the story, she gets called out. They don't go a huge amount into, like, all the details about this, but she gets called out to this farmhouse in Virginia somewhere. And apparently what happened with that was there was, like, a contractor who was out at this farmhouse, like, the barn specifically, I think, and he was, like, renovating it. And I guess, like, all kind of paranormal shenanigans were going on in there, and he couldn't, like, actually, they got so bad that he couldn't, like, finish the job. She said, the real woman said on there that at one point the circular saw had gone on even though it wasn't plugged in. So, you know, obviously you're going to have a hard time, like, doing shit with stuff like that going on. So, you know, they get called out, her and her team get called out to this barn to, like, investigate whatever the hell was going on here. So she comes out with, she has this other, like, assistant or this other woman that's, like, on the team who's, you know, they're calling her Jane Reeves, but I'm assuming that's not her real name. But, yeah, so they're kind of, like, she's kind of, like, a new, you know, paranormal investigators. So they're coming there together, and I think there was somebody else there, like, on the team as well. So they go into the barn to check it out. And I guess because Mary is kind of, like, the senior member of the team, she said, well, I'm just going to go in by myself, you know, because I don't know, like, you know, not only just because there's paranormal shit might be happening, but also because it just might be dangerous because it's still, like, under construction and whatnot. So she goes in there, and she has, like, a little micro cassette recorder thing. And they're trying to get, like, some EVPs and shit. Now, while she's up in the loft, she's kind of, like, moving some straw around and shit like that. And she sees some candle wax and, guess what? Good old pentagram. So, here the Satanists have been in here. Satanists. They've been in here everywhere. I kind of feel like that happens on a lot of these episodes. Where they move into a house or they move somewhere and they're like, look, Satanists have been here. They draw fucking... Yeah, so they've been doing all this black magic. I really don't feel like there's that many people doing black magic.
No.
I mean, teenagers will go and do, like, you know, they'll draw, like, some fucking pentagrams on shit just to be that way. But I don't think they're actually in there doing fucking rituals or nothing. But yeah, so she finds the pentagram and the candle wax. Here, you know, the goths have been here, obviously. They're to blame for everything. And as soon as she finds that, she said that she felt a stabbing pain in her stomach and felt violently ill. And basically what happens is there's kind of like, like, there's kind of like a jump scare where a skull of some kind, it looked like a bull or something, it's on a rope, and it kind of comes, like, swinging down, like, into the loft and, like, scares the shit out of her. And, you know, it was very, like, a Leatherface kind of moment, like a Texas Chainsaw Massacre kind of moment where this skull just came flying at her. And I guess they were trying to, like, imply that it was, ooh, that's, like, the fucking, I don't know. It was just, like, a skull on a rope, basically. But, so she basically says she got really, really sick, and she's like, you know, at this point I felt like there was really something in there that didn't want us in there, and she got, like, really, really scared and was basically telling everybody to get the fuck out of here because, you know, there's something really bad in here and they don't want us here and I don't want you guys in here because it's not safe or whatever. So later on that night, she's back home. Now, she has a 13-year-old son named Josh who is not real jazzed about this whole paranormal research thing that she's doing. I don't know if it's just because he thinks it's stupid or if he thinks that it's dangerous. You know what I mean? Because some of the stuff that he says later on, I don't know. I kind of feel like maybe he just, like, is not real comfortable with it, or it scares him or something like that. I mean, he's only 13. So she also has a boyfriend named Mike. And I guess they've been dating for, you know, several years at this point. And like I said, they're engaged. And Mike is not real. He's very, very skeptical of the supernatural. So he's kind of like, you know, he knows what she does, but he's just kind of like, whatever. I don't really, like, believe in any of that kind of stuff. Now, she has, like, a day job. This isn't her full job, like, paranormal investigator. She's a physical therapist. So she has her own private practice. So that's what she does for her day job. But she just does this paranormal thing, like, on the side. So a few days after this, she's listening to the tapes that she made, like, when she was in the barn and, like, all, and the scary skull thing happened. And Jane is there too. And on the tape, they hear, you know, good old demonic sounding voice that says, "Your God can't help you now." So, yeah, and they're like, "Holy shit, did you hear that?" "Yeah, I heard that." So she says that that was the first time anything like that had ever happened to her, like, on any other investigation, and it scared the shit out of her. And she said it was very, very clearly not a human voice, and it sounded, like, super evil. So at this point, Mary calls up her mentor, who's John Zaffis. So if you don't know who John Zaffis is, he's been on a bunch of haunting episodes. He is the Warrens' nephew, and I could be wrong about this, but I thought that he inherited the museum of scary paranormal shit that they had.
Last I heard.
I thought. I don't know about nowadays, because like I said, this was a while back, and I don't know how old he is now. I think he's still alive. But I think that he's the one that runs the museum, if indeed that's still even around. I haven't really checked, I have to admit. But he's on, like, a lot of these. So, yeah, so he's related to the Warrens. And like the Warrens, he's based in Connecticut. So she asks him about this weird EVP that they got. You know, which, you know, that's not good. A demonic voice saying your God can't help you now. I mean, you know, that's probably not a good thing. So John says, well, when you're, like, a sensitive individual, that's what he called her. So I'm assuming he met someone with, like, psychic powers or whatever. So apparently, like, if you're dealing with some satanic shit, like, you know, people that have been in there doing satanic shit and conjuring up God knows what, that this is going to be, like, a really dangerous situation. So he says to Mary, because she's a Catholic, you know, I recommend that you have to protect yourself in case something gravitated toward you. So it's like, go to Mass, go to confession, do all that, you know, all the Catholic stuff. And he also said, I think that maybe you should not investigate this case anymore. You should probably drop it because I think it's going to be too dangerous for you, and like your other investigators might get caught in the crossfire and shit like that. You know, so she was like, well, I guess she didn't really want to drop it because she had kind of like told them that she was going to go through with it. So I guess she didn't. But she did kind of take some precautions, like, later on that night to protect her house and her family. She hung crucifixes in all the rooms, and she has those Blessed Saint medallions, you know what I mean, that, like, a lot of Catholics have, I guess. So, basically, she thinks that, you know, God's going to protect her with those. Now, she has a sister named Allison, also not her real name, who is attending grad school in California, and she's going to be, like, a psychotherapist, I guess. So the two of them, like, talk on the phone all the time, even though they live, like, across the country. And So Mary tells her sister that she's worried about this barn case that she's been working on because of the pentagrams and the satanic whatnot. Allison said that she found this very unusual. Like, I guess that Mary had worked on a lot of cases before and, like, nothing had really, like, bothered her or scared her. So the fact that she was so freaking out about this one, like, you know, she thought that was a little bit alarming. So she asked her if she's talked to John about it. And she's like, yeah, and he told me what to do and blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, his sister, she's not there, so she can't really do much of anything. And she says, okay, well, I'll just put you on my prayer list because I guess she's got one of those. So, so that's basically all she could do. So they're like, okay, now everything was fine for about 6 months. And for a while, they started thinking that this whole demonic voice on the EVP was maybe just like a fluke or, you know, maybe it was just, who knows. So they had kind of, I don't think they forgot about it, but they just weren't really thinking about it anymore. But then something kind of bad happens, like, in the family. So Mary's mom had surgery, like, for, like, a knee replacement, I think. And the surgery went bad. Like, she got a staph infection, which happens sometimes. And the infection got really bad, and the doctors were not actually sure if she was going to pull through or not. So Mary is, you know, not getting a lot of sleep. She's very, very stressed out because she thinks her mom might die. So she suspects that because she was going through so much shit, like, in her family life, that she wasn't on guard the way she normally would be, like, guarding against demonic incursion, if you want to call it that. You know, because you got to keep ever vigilant to keep the demons from inserting themselves into your various holes.
Yeah,
while you're not looking.
She comes up with this crazy shit. That's funny.
Well, they got to get in somehow,
they
right?
They come through your skin.
They come in through your skin?
Just right into your mind, yeah.
You think?
Of course.
They don't have to, like, come in your butthole or nothing?
No, they're in another dimension. It's quantum.
I think it's more fun. I think it's more fun if they have to come in your butthole.
Yeah. You see how Jenny does not believe in possession.
No, I don't. But, you know.
I think it's unlikely.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
It is, yeah. So, yeah. So, she thinks maybe, she suspects that maybe this is when the possession occurred because she wasn't, like, on the lookout for it, right? So, a few nights after this, like, after she, you know, had been in the hospital, like, visiting her mom or whatever, Mary's, like, in her house at night, and she's, you know, just working and shit, like, answering emails and blah, blah, blah. She's like, hey, you know, I had a medical emergency. I can't, like, come investigate your ghost right now. I'll get back with you later on.
Let me qualify something I said. I said I think possession is unlikely. The reason why I say that is because the most credible cases that I've heard of or read involving possession can be interpreted also as poltergeist phenomenon. I believe the concept of demonic possession is a misinterpretation of poltergeist phenomena, which does exist. I've seen that. But had that happened, had what happened to me and my family, had that happened in the Middle Ages, actually not even the Middle Ages, back in the 70s and 60s, and you had the Warrens there, they would have interpreted that as demonic possession.
Well, they interpreted everything as demonic possession.
Right.
Like, you didn't have to call them.
Even in the Middle Ages, everything was demonic possession. But they would have said, this is a demon, and it's possessed this kid. Poltergeist phenomena. It's a very Western thing to project into that and go, yeah, that's demonic possession. There are old cases that happened in the Far East, you know, like Japan, where investigators, samurai, you know, intellectual samurai had seen it and said, no, this is an imbalance of chi coming out of this girl. They didn't interpret it as poltergeist, or excuse me, as demonic. It's chi, it's psychic.
Yeah, they saw it as something different, which is probably a lot more closer to what it might actually be.
Yeah.
Then, because I don't know.
The Japanese,
that
was like 1700s, I think, was the case that I heard. The Japanese were a lot closer to what I believe, for, you know, based on my experience, could be correct. It's a psychic temper tantrum, recurrent spontaneous psychokinesis.
And the thing, too, about demonic possession is that I kind of feel like it particularly arises when people have been raised in a very religious background, and they're just acting out in a way that they're almost like they're, it's like a suggestion or the way that they're expecting to act, and then it's kind of like a feedback loop, because then, like, you know,
and they believe it,
now then they believe it, and now it's just kind of like, yeah, so you can like talk yourself into acting like that too, so
you know, fucking, for you Star Wars fans, what you're talking about is fucking the Sith and the Jedi is what you're talking about, the Force, which that was all borrowed from Chinese philosophies of fucking yin and yang, yin force and yang force, which probably true. Yeah, well, they went crazy, they went sideways with that shit too, where you can, I don't want to get into it, go ahead.
Well, you
where you can run across the top of trees and float, fucking run across, and do things that ninja do, run across the top of the surface of water.
Do you like ninja
do that. You're not gonna be able to do that.
Do you like ninja It's like Scientology saying, like,
yeah, Scientology. You can take something that's true and then go too far with it, you know.
Yeah, going crazy.
That's with anything, yeah.
So yeah, so she's in her house, just doing regular shit, and then suddenly she hears this really creepy sound, and this was actually a good, sound design on this one, because I actually even said, because he was still awake at this point, and when she hears the noise, I was like, ooh, that's a creepy ass noise.
Yeah.
Like, she thought it was the cat, and like, I can understand that, because Pookie makes some weird ass noises sometimes, and like, I'll be at the desk and I can't see her, but all of a sudden I hear her like making some like bizarre ass trilling noise like from the other room, and I'm like, what the fuck was that? I mean, I know it's probably her. But the noise that she hears, she thinks it's a cat, but it kind of sounded like, she said it was grunting like a pig. So it kind of sounded like pig grunting, but not quite. It was much creepier than that. I mean, that would be creepy enough if you were in the house by yourself and heard a pig grunting inexplicably. But yeah, so it was like a creepy sound. I wanted to say something about that too, because this, I don't know if it was just my imagination, because remember, I think I mentioned this to you, but the score in this one was a lot different than normal. You know what I mean? I kind of feel like the score, it did, but like a lot of the scores in this, and this wasn't like a later one, this was like a season three. I kind of feel like the scores in most of them were a lot more low key, whereas this one was like more dramatic. Like, it seemed to kind of, like, stand out a little bit more.
Well, I think they were trying to
kind of... So much so that I noticed it.
It was not a ghost story, so they were trying something new, if you ask me. They were trying to go
maybe
more...
that's what it
more
was.
More, like, Exorcist-type stuff.
Maybe that's what it was.
And really, this one isn't quite as exciting, if you ask me, than some of the ghost stuff. So they're trying to make it more exciting using audio cues.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is. Yeah, because this has a lot more... audio cues, like you said, then like a lot more dramatic kind of musical stings and things like that, which they don't usually, because usually the music in these is pretty like low key, like pretty understated.
Yeah, because visually not a lot happens in terms of special effects in this one.
So yeah, because a lot of it's like internal, it's because internal she's like possessed,
right?
So she doesn't really see much of anything. Like, she doesn't see like apparitions or like shit flying
around. Yeah, it's one of the reasons why I think we chose against doing this earlier.
Maybe.
Because they're like, well, this one's kind of not a lot happens in the physical world.
Just right.
That one scene of her driving, that was pretty, that was the best part.
Honestly, but I will say though that even though I generally prefer like the more ghosty type stories and the more poltergeisty type stories and the possession-y type stories, I will say that this one did have like two of the creepiest. One, like the pig grunting sound, which I was like, ooh, that's really creepy, like that noise that that they had going. And the scene of her driving. I was like, those are two of the creepiest like scenes in all of the haunting episodes that I remember. So, you know, good one there. But yeah, so she hears like something grunting like a pig, which like I said, that usually denotes something demonic right there. So basically she's like, well, I guess the son was still in the house at this point, but she was like, well, I didn't really want to tell him what was going on. Like, I want him to be safe, but I didn't want him to be scared, because if he was scared, then maybe like the demon would like glom onto him as well. So Mary's mom, you know, happily like gets better from her infection, but she's still in the hospital and Mary's visiting her, and mom basically says, you know, you look like shit. I mean, she doesn't say that, but well, she says you look terrible. I think she says, and she's like, gee, thanks, mom. I'm like, yeah, that's such a mom thing to say. But my mom wouldn't say anything like that, but a lot of moms do. Mary says, well, I haven't really been getting much sleep. And she said that she had a lot of what she called nightmares while she was awake, like during the day. And in this case, this was also like a pretty good, like, creepy scene. So she's standing there by the bed, her mom's bed, and then there was another patient, like, in the other bed. And a nurse comes in and is, like, tending to the other patient. And Mary, like, looks over there, and she thinks that she sees the nurse over there, like, pulling, like, all the entrails or internal organs, like, out and, like, kind of, like, going, hey, like, with all these bloody, like, livers and shit, like, in her hands. And then she's staring at the nurse like, what the fuck? Why are you pulling all, you know what I mean? So that was, like, a pretty good scene, too. And then the nurse is like, what the fuck are you looking at, lady? Like, you know what I mean? And she's like, no, I'm fine. But, yeah, she said, I don't know if she saw that, like, really, because she didn't say that. But that's what they showed, like, in the reenactment that she saw. So I thought that was pretty cool. But, yeah, she's seeing that kind of crap, like, during the day. Pulling guts out. And then they kind of show her, she's at work. Like I said, she's a physical therapist. So she's in there, like, you know, manipulating this woman's, like, tennis arm, you know, like, pushing it over there and all that other kind of stuff. And then the woman, like, suddenly turns to her and, like, talks all demon-y at her. Like, you know, your God can't help you, or whatever, like, the demon said to her. But then, like, totally acts like nothing happened. And then, you know, so Mary's like, what the fuck did you just say? And she's like, what? I didn't say anything. And then she's like, oh, our session's over. And she's like, wait, is it? Like, she lost some time or some shit. So apparently she was having all that kind of stuff going on. So she's basically like, okay, well, she didn't really tell her son, obviously, or I guess her boyfriend, like, what was going on, because she didn't really think that they could help her. And it did occur to her that maybe she had some kind of, like, mental illness. Like, maybe she was developing schizophrenia or something like that, which is something that you have to consider if you're, like, seeing weird shit like that. You know, or that she was just, like, super stressed out and, you know, she was just having hallucinations. So she's basically, well, in a way, she said she was kind of hoping that it was, like, a mental health issue, because then at least she could get medication and it would, like, solve the problem. So she calls up her sister, Allison, who, like I said, was studying to be a psychotherapist, and she's asking her, she's like, do you think I'm schizophrenic? Like, she's telling her, like, all this stuff that's going on. And apparently her sister is like, no, that doesn't sound anything like, you know, what the sister said. She said she didn't have any of the classic indicators for psychosis, no mania, no evidence of schizophrenia, none of the typical signs that you find for diagnosis. That's what she said. So she's like, yeah, I don't think it's a mental illness. I think maybe you have, like, some other issues, some other problems that you're having. So, and like I said, Allison was a Catholic too, and, like, you know, was had a lot of, like, strong religious faith. So basically she's like, yeah, I think maybe, like, there's some demonic shit going on, so probably you should call somebody and get your house blessed, like, ASAP. I think I have a hair in my mouth and I can't get it out. Okay, there it goes. So Mary, like, basically calls up the parish priest, has him come over and, like, bless the house. And the mom, who's now out of the hospital, she's fine. She comes over and does the whole blessing, and Jane comes over. The priest also blesses all their medallions, which is, he just blesses the whole fucking shit, everything, like, with his little doot-doot-doot sensor thing, whatever that is. But not too long after that, just as in many of these episodes, the second you bring the church in and they bless your shit, stuff gets, like, exponentially worse. And that is exactly what happened here. She has the guy come in, everything's blessed, everything's fine. But then Mary's in bed one night, and they show her, like, laying there, and then there's, like, this shadow, like, kind of passes over her. And then, like, an invisible force basically starts throwing her ass around, like, all over the room, like, pulling her off the bed, like, chucking her, not really, like, chucking her against the wall, but pretty much, like, pulling her off the bed, and she's trying to stay on the bed, and it's, like, this big thing. But basically she said, something I couldn't see attack me, that's what she said. So basically she's like, she kind of ran outside the house, but then she's like, well, this isn't going to do any good, because I know the house isn't haunted. Like, this is me, like, it's attached to me. So even if I go somewhere else, then the same shit is going to happen. So she felt, like, really bad, because there was nothing she could do about it. So she calls her sister back and is basically like, okay, well, I'm starting to freak out because this shit is, like, throwing me all over my bedroom, and I'm not here for it. So Allison, this was another thing that I thought was weird. Allison says, well, why don't you call Zaphis? They always call him by his last name, which I thought was kind of funny. I guess because it's more distinctive than John. But Mary is like, she doesn't want to for some reason, and I'm not really sure why. she basically says, well, I'm not comfortable calling him, and I'm afraid of what he might do. I'm like, what do you mean? Like, he might do an exorcism and you'll be fine? Is that, like, what else is he going to do, like, that's bad? I don't really understand. And she didn't have a problem calling him before, so I don't really know. I don't know if this was just, like, some kind of manufactured conflict they wanted to put in here. Or if it was, like, the demon, like, telling her, it's like, oh, I can't call him. Or, because, I don't know. I didn't really get it, like, why she didn't want to call him. Because she called him before. I don't know. I don't get it. And Allison even says, well, calling him, she said, would have probably been the smartest thing that she could have done, because he would have actually set some things in motion to try and help her. Which, like I said, exactly. So I don't really understand, like, why she was afraid to call him. Because she seemed, like, lucid most of the time, like, when she wasn't, like, all demony and stuff. So, I don't know. I didn't get it. So basically she's talking to her sister on the phone still, and then she gets all demony, like, when she's on the phone, and basically starts going, like, your faith is nothing, blah, 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 like, you're doing that kind of stuff. And then Allison's like, yeah, okay, that's, like, immediately, that's not my sister, yeah, she's demonically possessed, and, you know, and so she's saying that she feels completely helpless, like, something's taking over her body, yada, yada. So, she decides, even though that whole priest blessing thing earlier didn't work out so good, like, everything got worse, she decides she's gonna, like, double down on the shit. So they show her, and she's in her room, and she's reading the Bible and all this other stuff. And then she said, like, the medallions that she had, you know what I mean, that the priest had blessed before, she said that she keeps, like, pulling them away from her chest. Like, she said they started, like, burning and itching, and she felt like they were strangling, like, she couldn't breathe. And then so she ends up, like, chucking the medallions across the room. Also, and I noticed this too, she chucks the Bible across the room too, but they only showed that in shadow. And I said, I wonder if they didn't show her, like, actually throwing the Bible across the room, because people would get offended.
Yeah, well, I think the first few seasons, I think it was kind of a religious company that made these. I think they were Christian, so that might be. Didn't we get down to believe in that?
I mean, that's what I thought.
I think it was.
That's what I thought.
But it's a good product, you know what I mean? I think out of the Christian products, this series is, you know, if they were Christian, I'm pretty sure they were. Out of the Christian products, this series, the first couple seasons were some of the best things they ever made.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I was under the impression that, like, the religious company took over later. But I could be wrong about that.
All right.
Because it's kind of seemed like the first seasons were kind of like a mixed bag. Like, some of them were, like, super religious-y, and then the other ones not so much.
Maybe.
So, I don't really know. I'm just saying that they were probably just hedging their bets, because it's like, well, they wanted to show, like, she's evil and, like, possessed and everything. So, it's like, yeah, I'm going to fuck that Bible. And she just, like, throws it across the room. But they're like, well, we can't actually... We don't want to actually, like, have her throw an actual Bible, because maybe people on the crew would get offended. Or, like, people... So... I wonder if they came in and, like, changed out the book. They gave her another book. It's like, here's a copy of Twilight. Chuck that across the room. You know what I mean? No one would be offended at that. That's what, I don't know. This is the kind of shit that I think about when I'm watching this show.
It's funny.
I know.
I
know, but...
You picked it up on it, though.
How my brain works. I noticed, like, weird little shit like that. You know what I mean? It was just something that I noticed. So basically, so she says at this point, she's like, every time I tried to do anything, like, to make all of this better, I would get attacked. And she said she kind of started to lose her faith, or she started to get kind of, like, mad at God, because he was, like, falling down in the job, like, not really helping her out. You know, so there was that. So finally she calls Zaphis, like, I don't know why she didn't do it before, but she does. And I kind of laughed at this point. Like I said, props to the actress in this, because she actually did a great job. I really like her, and she really, like, committed to it, which I thought was cool. She did not phone this in, like, not by any stretch of the imagination. So she's basically, like, crying on the phone, like, with Zaphis, and saying that she thinks she has an attachment. It's attachment. You know, it's a demon. It's, like, stuck on you, like a remora on a shark. So that's what I pictured anyway. Now, during the call, though... she starts growling, and then she's basically like, we don't need any help, like, all that kind of stuff. And John's like, oh, yeah, that's definitely a demon, and shit's getting serious, so, you know, we better, like, intervene. So the next thing that happens, like, she's all beat to shit, I guess because of the stuff that happened before, like, with the demon, like, tossing her around the room, because she's got, like, a fucking black eye. She looks like hell. So... She drives over to Jane's house, and she tells Jane, I've been attacked, which is obvious because her face is all fucking bruised and shit. Jane says, oh my God, like, did you call the police? Mary said, no, I wasn't attacked by a person. Hey, you remember that barn case we did where we had that really creepy EVP? Yeah, I think that demon has, like, fucking latched onto me and is beating my ass. So, you know. And then while that's happening, I think Danny Rowland brought this up earlier. Then while that's happening, she has, I guess it was like a vision where she growls at Jane about not needing help, and then she threatens her with, like, a rake or some shit. Like, there was a rake or a shovel or something, like, in the front yard, and she, like, picks it up, and then she starts, like, coming at her like that. Like, because, yeah, Danny Rowling would say it was, like, American Gladiators. I thought of that scene, if you've seen, like, Mystery Science Theater, and you've seen that terrible, terrible 80s movie Hobgoblins, and there's, like, a very long extended sequence in there in which two guys fight each other in the front yard of a tract house with garden implements. It kind of reminded me of that, like, big time. If you've seen it, you know what I'm talking about. So yeah, she's like basically like, oh, I'm gonna get you this fucking rake or shovel or whatever the fuck it is. And there's that. But then, like, Jane's little boy, like, peeks around the door like, mommy, what the fuck's going on out there? And then they're like, oops, like, that didn't really happen. Like, she was just imagining it. So I guess the demon was making her see, like, this is what you'll do if you stay here. You know what I mean? So she kind of, like, snaps out of it, and then she's like, okay, well, I have to leave, because if I don't, you know, I'm gonna hurt you guys, and I don't really watch this. She's just like, bye, and then she, like, goes and gets in her car and, like, drives back home. So Jane, at this point, and they don't really go a lot into this, but Jane, at this point, she starts wearing, like, her medals and all that, and then she goes back in her house, like, after this incident. And then her little boy, like, toddles into the living room and says, mommy, there's a man in the other room. Mm-hmm. And then she's like, what the fuck? And then, like, so she goes, like, with the thing, like, the cross, and she's praying and shit like that, like, looking around in the closet and everything like that. I think she saw, like, a shadow, at least in the reenactment, but she doesn't find anything. Like, she goes in the closet and there's nothing in there. But they don't really go into that anymore. Like, they don't really say that Jane, like, saw any shit at her house, like, other than that one thing. So I thought that was kind of, like, a little bit of a loose end there. So later on, Mary comes home late, and Mike, her boyfriend, is wondering where she's been. It's like, oh my God, I was worried sick, blah, blah, blah. I thought you were in a car accident. And then at that point, like, Mary, or at least the demon, like, you know, sitting on her, basically, like, runs Mike off. Like, she's like, just get out of our lives, pow! And then she, like, fucking smacks him right across the face like that. And she's saying, I don't love you, Mike, and blah, blah, blah. And then she says, if you don't leave, I'm gonna call the cops and tell them you did this to my face. Because, like I said, the demon, like, fucked up her face, right? Yeah. Like, beat her up.
Remember what you did there.
Yeah, and I was like, ooh.
Yeah.
And then she said later, and I don't think you see the boyfriend after this.
He's please like, correct. I'm out of here.
Yeah, he's like, I'm not dealing with this demon possession thing.
She's gonna set me up for all kinds of shit. She even have DNA to prove it. I'm out of here.
That's what I mean. Yeah. I was just kind of like, he was just like, okay, no, I'm washing my hands. I don't either, honestly.
Man,
I don't
gotta
either,
protect
honestly.
Himself.
I don't.
She hit you with a rape charge.
Well, the thing about it, it's not even just that. Yeah. It's just like if. She thinks she's possessed by a demon, whether she really was or not. It's just like, I'd be like, yeah, I don't think I need to, like, fucking... What's Pookie doing?
She's laying on her back, went, rawr, and then rolled over and looked at me.
She's so weird. Maybe Pookie is possessed by a demon. It's a
possessed
Pookie
by a demon, Pookie?
Yeah. Okay. That's what... She'll sit on the edge of the bed, like, sometimes and, like, watch a haunting with us, and I'll be like, demon's Pookie?
Yeah.
And then her little ears just go like that. It's, like, super
funny.
She
doesn't even know
what... She doesn't know what demons are.
She knows what screaming is, though.
Yeah, she doesn't like screaming. Because, like, you know, yeah. And, you know, we watch a lot of horror movies. Yeah. So, you know, obviously there's a lot of screaming going on. So, but she doesn't like it. She gets, like, really nervous.
She doesn't like screaming, and she doesn't like machines beeping. Any kind of alarm.
That freaks her out. Yeah, because, like, sometimes... Well, the funny thing, too, if you put something in the microwave downstairs and you forget about it... Yeah. Like, we have a microwave that just keeps beeping until you go down there and
open
it.
Every few seconds it'll beep, beep.
Yeah, it'll be, it's really annoying. But Pookie will run up the stairs and be like, burr, burr,
yeah,
burr,
yeah,
burr.
Yeah, there's
like,
something beeping. Something beeping down.
Go get your shit.
Yeah, she's fine. She's smart. She knows what the words mouse and mice are, if I'm talking about the toys. If I said, get your mouse, and she'll look right at them. They're right there.
Yeah, she's like, yeah, my mouse. Yeah.
She knows all kinds of different words. She knows what we're saying.
Yeah.
It's funny.
She totally does.
Yeah.
She totally does. Yeah, so basically she says, and this is a quote from the show, she says, things come out of your mouth that you don't want to say. It's as if you're a hostage in your own body and something else is taking control. Like you're a mech suit. Like there's like a little thing inside the mech suit. That's what it's like. That's exactly what these entities wanted me alone with no help. So that's basically she's saying that the demon was trying to like drive everyone away so that she wouldn't have any support system. So I guess that's what he's, because when she told Mike, like, I don't love you, like, get out of here, she didn't sound demon-y. She sounded like her regular voice, but, like, pissed off, you know what I mean? Because I think when she was on the phone with the other people, she would usually sound, like, demon-y. Like, it was still her voice, obviously, but she was like, blah, 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 like that, you know what I mean? But this time, she just, like, kind of said it normal. But yeah, that was pretty fucked up when she was, I'll tell the cops you did this. And I'm like, harsh, babe. But yeah, he was just like, yeah, bye. And he just, like, took off. And at this point, like, I guess she hears her son, Josh, I guess this was the same night, and he's, like, crying in his room, and he said that he had heard something, and I thought this was very specific, he said he heard something that sounded like two wolves growling. I'm like, how'd you know it was two wolves? Mm-hmm. Could it just been one or three? How do you know what two wolves growling sounds like? I was like, that's very specific. I don't know why I fixated on that little detail. I don't know why I fixated on those kind of things. But yeah, so he's crying and she's like, what's your problem? He's like, yeah, I heard growling and that's not good. But then he says, I don't actually believe in prayer anymore because I kept praying that you would knock it off with the paranormal investigations and you didn't. Like, so my prayer didn't work, so fuck that. And then he also says he doesn't believe in God anymore. And then she's very, very offended by that. Although she does admit, you know, I still believe in God, but I was just very, very angry. And I guess my anger, like, made it easy for the demon to, like, take over. And she ends up, like, throwing away her medallions even. Or sort of, like, not throwing them. She just kind of puts them in the little wicker trash basket in her bedroom. Like, you can just go back there and get them. It's not, you know. So she kind of, like, tries to maintain, you know, so that Josh doesn't get more freaked out than normal. Now, I guess, like, Allison, who lived in California, like I said, she was coming to visit, like, for the 4th of July weekend or whatever. And I guess she was staying with their mom, who only lived, like, a few miles away from where Mary and her son lived. So this was the part, like I said, this was my favorite scene in the whole thing. So Mary drives her son, Josh, to her mom's house, which is only, like, a few miles away. But the whole time, she drives, like, a total bat out of hell. Like, she doesn't, like, stop for anything. She's driving on the wrong fucking side. She's up on the fucking sidewalk. She's running red lights and stop signs. And she's just, like, all over. And she's, the whole time, she's just staring at her son in the passenger seat and, like, driving. And that kid is absolutely losing his fucking shit. As you would, like, if that was your fucking mom. But just the face that she's making. And they keep, like, cutting back to her face and, like, the cars, like, driving everywhere and honking and shit like that. It was just, like, a great scene. And she looked so fucking creepy, you know, and the kid was just obviously, like, terrified. So, basically, yeah, she stares at him creepily the whole time, not once looking at the road. Now, Mary, once they get to the house, like, the kid, like, jumps the fuck out of the car and, like, runs in the house. She's crazy, you know what I mean? But Mary said she had absolutely no memory at all, like, of the whole drive over there. And she said, you know, Josh told me later that I stared at him the whole entire time, and he doesn't know how we got there without having an accident. So, yeah, but that was, like, a great scene. I thought that was one of the best. And it was, like, daytime and everything, but it's just, like, I guess it was her face. You know what I mean? Like, she looked, like I said, she really committed to the creepiness. So, you know, it was, like, really good. So Mary then stumbles into the house, again, looking like complete shit. As, you know, just give her a break. She's demonically possessed. It's just my phone ringing. So she comes in the house, and again, you know, where's mom's holy water? Which, again, I thought was very funny. Oh, it's just right there, like, in the kitchen, like a bottle of holy water. So she tries to drink it, but I guess she can't, like, she starts choking and stuff. And then she goes demon-y again and says, I don't need your help, blah, blah, blah. And then she says stuff like her sister, like, goes out and tries to talk to her. And then she has a rake again for some reason. I don't know. Maybe the demon that's possessing her, like, really likes rakes. That's, like, his thing. But she's kind of saying stuff like, why do you care about that mother of yours? Why do you even believe in God? What's he ever done for you? Blah, blah, blah. And, you know, the sister is just kind of like, whoa, okay, this is not good. So at this point, the sister goes to make iced tea with some stealth holy water in there. But then she comes out with the glasses. She puts holy water in everybody's, which, I don't know why. I don't know. I just thought that was really funny. She puts holy water in everybody's tea.
Let me get you some more ice.
Yeah, all my ice melted. But then she comes out like with two glasses, like, hey, we're gonna drink it. There's totally not holy water in here, so you're not. It burns. But you know, so she comes out with the glasses. But Mary's already taken off, and then like in the background, you can hear her car going. Rawr! You know what I mean? So she's like driving like a crazy person again. I guess like the demon is keeping her from getting in an accident. So there's that. I mean, the demon's like making her drive really crazy. So at this point, Allison, the sister, calls Zaphis and says, yeah, shit's getting really bad with Mary. We really need to, like, move on this. We need to do something about this because it's getting out of control. So Zaphis says, well, keep Josh, the son, there at the mom's house, and I'm going to call some people, and they're going to call some people, and we're going to, like, arrange an exorcism. And that's how he said it on the show too. Like there was, there was a dramatic pause, yes. And I think you had fallen asleep by this point. Okay, yes. But I was just like, you know, and he's going to arrange for an exorcism. And I just like laughed. I was like, ooh, dramatic pause. I really like that. Yes. I love the fucking. I mean, Anthony Call is like
diabolical.
Yeah, he's like fucking iconic. He's iconic. Yeah. But it's just kind of like, it's funny because nowadays, I mean, there's been like 40 bajillion like exorcism movies. It's like, oh, exorcism, yawn. You know what I mean? But it's just like, so it was funny to me that they were trying to like do this big dramatic.
In case you've never heard of it before.
Right. An exorcism. You know what I mean? Well, at least they didn't like explain what an exorcism was. Because that happened like on some of the older shows.
Yeah, they're explaining what an exorcism
They always, was. Well, and like I said, nowadays, and I think even on this one, when they say EVP, like they always say electronic voice phenomena. Like they explain what it is. I'm like, every motherfucker knows what that is now because of the proliferation of paranormal TV shows.
Yeah, if they're watching that program, they know what an EVP is.
Yeah, and I'm like, duh, everybody knows what a damn EVP is. Even I know what it is. Yeah. Everybody knows what an EVP is. But I just think it's funny that they have to, like, explain. But like I said, at least they didn't explain. Well, an exorcism is a thing where you just, like, read the Bible at people and try to, like, expel the demon from their body. So there's that. So Zaphis says... you know, we didn't necessarily know. He's like, we were kind of like, you know, we thought this was going to be dangerous. We didn't know what kind of demon we were dealing with. We didn't know if she was going to become violent. We didn't know if, like, something bad was going to happen to her son. So they had to, like, do something, like, as soon as possible to kind of get her away from, like, the son so she wouldn't hurt him or nothing. So Mary, like, you know, for her kid, she said, okay, I'm going to go ahead with... the exorcism, and I had to do a dramatic pause too, you know, because they didn't want shit to escalate and, you know, something bad happening to her son, like I said. So Allison and Jane drive Mary to Connecticut, because that's where Zaphis lives, for the exorcism. Now, Mary, it's funny because the narrator, like Anthony Cawley, says, Mary knows that at best the exorcism will be extremely painful. At worst, it could be fatal, which, okay. I don't know about painful, though. Is it? I don't know. I've never been exorcised.
Some people died during them.
Well, I know that, but I don't think that was so much like, yeah, I guess so.
They got them tied up. They're not fucking let them drink sometimes, you know, cause, but they have dudes that don't know what they're doing, you know. They're fighting the possessed. Yeah. Got them tied down.
That was one thing, though, in this one, is that, like, they do the exorcism. They didn't tie her down, though. They just kind of had everybody, like, holding on to her. I'm like, are you sure that that's the best idea? I mean, you could just, like, rope her to the chair.
Remember the little German girl?
Yeah.
They got recordings.
Annalise McKell, yeah.
Yeah, they got recordings of her fucking speaking weird demonic tongues and stuff. She died during one.
They did several, like, over a long period of time.
I think it was dehydration was the cause of death, I think.
She
looked starved and
she looked awful.
Yeah,
we did a show about her a long time ago.
Right. I don't really know what the situation was. To me, it looked like some kind of weird mental illness, or
it did.
It's hard to say. I think it's what the Scientologists would call, what is it, break from reality, or what did they call it? When they take a Scientologist and they put him in solitary until they went crazy, so they look like that.
Yeah.
What was that called? They called it something. It was called a purification rundown, I think is what they called.
Yeah, they'd lock you in a room and, like, they wouldn't feed you. Like, they'd just give you, like, a bunch of weird vitamin concoctions and
not talk to you for months and you fucking go crazy in that cell.
That's what happened to Lisa McPherson.
Yeah, it looked like a Lisa McPherson type deal.
She even had, like, cockroach.
Eating her.
Cockroaches eating her and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was fucked up.
While she was alive.
I can't believe we haven't done... We should do a show about her.
Yeah.
Holy
crap. We gotta do one about
that. Like I said, I used to work with people that knew her, like, and were around, like, during that time period, and were, and, like, gave testimony at that trial.
Yeah.
So, I worked with the woman that worked there when I worked there that was the sales manager. She was Lisa McPherson's roommate.
Yeah.
So.
They don't know what happened to her. She was just found running down the street naked.
Yeah.
And then they arrested her and handed her over to the doctor who was a Scientologist, and he gave her right back to the Scientology, and they put her through a purification rundown, which is kind of like an exorcism.
And she died.
Yeah, killed her.
It was fucked up.
But I think it killed her because they didn't give her any water. They weren't going in there and taking care of her. Because they were probably
she's doing a special Scientologist. She don't need water. You have OT powers.
I don't think that's what the case was. I think what it was is just like negligence. They kept doing security shifts, watching her, and every time somebody would do a shift, they weren't told to feed or give them any water. They thought that maybe the shift before had done it. That's what I think what was going on.
Yeah.
Realized that nobody had given her any water, and about, you know, it was hot in there, so they'd probably given her water 5 or 6 days, and I don't think they knew. I think the people guarding her didn't know.
Dumbasses.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean...
Well, Miscavige fucking was pissed off. And he's going, you fucking idiots, you know, you killed her. Yeah.
Yeah, good job. Yeah. Dumbasses.
If you join a cult, you could be very intelligent, but you're an idiot.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a lot of intelligent idiots.
Don't join a cult.
Yeah. And it's more of the intelligent people that join cults. Dumb people are like sharks. They know better. Like, oh, I ain't doing it. Oh, no. But an intelligent person has an imagination, so you can abuse them. You can suck them right in with a line. And people have known this forever. Psychologists do it all the time to people. That's what psychological warfare is all about. Talking you into fucking defeating yourself. You can only do that to an intelligent person. A dumb person sees right through it because they only act in their own interest. A person who's trying to save the planet, oh yeah, you can get them to fucking believe all kinds of crazy shit. That's what Scientology is about. Clearing the planet.
I don't know. A lot of the Scientologists I met when I was over there were pretty stupid.
Yeah, because they're raised in that shit, and they're dumb. They're artificially dumb, but I think if you gave them an IQ test, they'd probably come out pretty good, a lot of them. Intelligent people fall for cults.
Oh, I know they do. I'm just saying. I've met a bunch of dumb people in that shit, too.
Well, they're badly misinformed.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's throughout society. Most people are badly misinformed. You can tell a person anything. They go, oh, okay, yeah. Especially if you have authority. They believe authorities.
Mark says, if somebody starts speaking in a language they don't know, you gotta wonder what the fuck is going on. Yeah, I think really that's kind of one of the main things that's one of the tests that they have to do, like,
yeah,
that they'll actually do an exorcism.
But the person giving the test, they might recognize a few words from another language, or do they actually just think that they're recognizing words?
See, that's what I always wonder. Are you bringing in, like, a fluent speaker? Because otherwise...
You could just think, I think that's French. No, she's speaking French.
And they could just be like, blah, 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 and some half-remembered words from French class, like...
Right.
Because I could... What? Because I could probably do that. I took 4 years of French back in high school, and I don't remember a lot about it, but...
You want to bring a fluent French speaker in and then converse with that person, and then I'll be impressed. Yeah, right.
Oh, and then also you have to, like, really look... Because they always say, oh, well, there's no way that that person could know how... I'm like, well, is there really no way that they could have learned to speak that language at any time? It's not like it's an alien language.
The subconscious mind is real powerful.
It is, yeah.
You might know a pretty decent amount of a foreign language and not in your subconscious and don't even know it.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So it just could be a thing where, like I said, if you learned some like a long time ago and kind of forgot it, but then you were kind of in a state of mind where you were just like letting your subconscious kind of flow freely, like maybe a lot of it would come out.
Well, the mind is a quantum computer. And, there's a lot of stuff that's happening that's not physical. It's not a digital computer, and it's not computing in the way that we would think computation is about. Stuart Hameroff talks all about it, and Sir Penrose, yeah.
Like a pen and a rose. Yeah.
She gets mad. They're just names. Names are made up, okay? I don't care.
Yeah, but I don't want you fucking people's names up. Okay. Why don't you fucking my name up?
Anyway, they'll get all into that the brain is not computing in the way that a digital computer does. So these people with this AI singularity people, they're tripping. They, that computer will be, you might be able to get it to mimic a human mind to a certain extent, but that thing will never be a living creature. It will never have a feeling of qualia. It will never feel that it exists. It'll only be an illusion. Well, there's a bunch of stuff happening inside your subconscious, whether that subconscious is inside the brain or outside in some kind of quantum field. There's stuff happening in that subconscious that only a quantum computer could do. You might know a couple of languages and be unaware of it. That's theoretically possible.
Yeah, I mean, just from hearing it.
Just from hearing it.
Yeah, it might be in there somewhere.
Because that mind, your unconscious mind may have cracked those codes and already deciphered what all that shit means and can reproduce it to a certain extent as long as it had heard the word or fake it slightly. If you say, well, it's a Latin language, so this noun will probably be like this in Romanian, you know, or some shit like that.
Yeah, you know more than you think you do.
You know more than you think you do.
You know?
Right. So that's why some of the characters in your dreams do things that you would never do, and they would say things that you wouldn't say, and sometimes they'll solve a problem that you wouldn't solve, and you're like, well, shit, who was that character? Well, came out of me. It came from my mind. So your mind is a lot more powerful than you think. A lot of these geniuses said that they saw the mathematical solutions to these massive equations and problems inside of theoretical physics. They saw it in a dream. Okay.
Well, and that happens a lot. Like, if you have a problem that you're thinking about, like, sometimes you'll think of a solution in a dream. That happens to a lot of people.
Yeah, so don't underestimate the human mind.
And that's kind of why I'm very, very skeptical of these, because you can't jump to, you know, oh, this person knows a language they don't know, or they're doing this kind of stuff, therefore demons exist. I'm like, that's a whole other realm. Demon existence. There's too many hurdles that you have to overcome before you can jump to that. You know what I'm saying? And like I said, a lot of stuff, you know, even if you had to go like paranormal in the sense of like, you know, poltergeist activity and shit like that, I would rather just go there instead of like going way out on a limb and talking about demons, because like I said, that's a whole other kettle of fish.
Yeah.
If demons exist.
The demon people tend to be religious.
Yeah, right? That's what I'm saying.
And in this country, they're talking about Christianity.
Yeah.
The problem with the demon people is that the Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament, do not agree on what a demon is. It'll call, what you doing, Poke?
She's staring at me.
It'll call kind of like fallen angels. It'll call them demons. But then it says other things later on in the New Testament about what Jesus casting out. Basically what they're describing is the souls of the evil dead. They're calling them demons too. But there's a big difference.
You're a demon. Everyone's a demon.
Yeah, what's funny is that in the Old Testament, the fallen angel story, that's very Mesopotamian, that's very Jewish, okay? That's their concept of what a demon is. Then you get into the New Testament, the spirits of the evil dead angle is a very Roman concept. They're two very different concepts, that the evil dead are demonic, and that's something you got to worry about. In the Old Testament, they didn't worry about that, because there was just Sheol, the grave, you know, the underworld, and all the dead people were in there. There wasn't any hell. They didn't go to hell. They didn't even go to heaven. They just went to Sheol. Only people that went to heaven was like Methuselah, and I think Noah got taken. No, Noah just got. Did Noah get taken?
I don't remember.
No, I think Enoch got taken, and I think Abraham got taken. Everybody else just died. There was no reward or punishment, really. People forget that.
Kevin Donovan says, Demon Wind, go watch it. I've actually seen it. I don't remember it making much of an impression. I remember, like, Shudder added it, like, a couple years ago. And I remember watching it. Maybe I'll watch it again one of these days. It might be on Tubi. But I don't remember. I kind of remember it, but not. I don't remember that much about it. So they go to Connecticut, which I guess was 8 hours away from wherever the hell they were. I think it was in Virginia somewhere. So they go to Zaphis' house, and he says when she got there, when Mary got there, she looked at him like all fucking, like, with hatred and all this other kind of shit. So the exorcism is going to be done by a priest who was on there talking, whose name was Father Larry Elward, and he had worked with Zaphis for, like, a quarter century at this point. So as I said, I'm not sure if this is how it happened in real life, but they basically just sat her in a chair, and then they had, like, Jane and Allison and all them there. It's like, hey, you hold her arms, and we'll hold her legs and stuff. I'm like, you know, you can't just, why don't you just get some zip ties or something like that? Like, I don't know why they would, like, sit there, because she could punch you or kick you or some shit like that, or barf on you. I don't know. But, yeah, so they're all, like, holding her down. Also, I thought this was kind of charming. This was the first time I've ever seen a musical exorcism. I don't think I've ever seen that. He sang it, like, when he first started doing it. Because normally, like, I don't think they've ever shown this on a haunting, and I've never seen this in a movie. I mean, I'm sure it's probably been
it was
in
like
a movie.
A Catholic song?
Yeah, and
like
he was
a chain,
like
a monk song.
And
I'm
just like, whoa, it's musical. I was like, musical exorcism.
That would be like
something. That's delightful.
That's like something you would do in an Islamic exorcism, too. I've seen them kind of sing.
Yeah, I've seen that kind of stuff, yeah. But I'd never seen, like, yeah. I'm sure they do it. Yeah. Like, I've seen them do, like, Catholic Mass where they're, like, singing and stuff, but I never saw specifically an exorcism that was, like, in somebody's house that was, like, a sing-song exorcism. I'm like, ooh, that's kind of neat. And then they were all kind of singing along. I'm like, ooh, they all know this song. That's kind of cool. Get out, demons. It was, like, that kind of thing. Like, that's not what it sounded like, but you know what I mean. I just thought that was kind of, you know. I just thought that was really funny. Again, that was like another thing that like really struck me as funny. I don't know why certain details in this like strike me as funny, but they do. So yeah, musical exorcism. And at this point, like the priest said, she started reacting really violently. She started saying to Jane, I think, that she kept saying, "I have a present for you. I have a present for you." And I'm like, "Is she gonna barf in her face? Because I'm out of here." But I don't know if they ever said, like, what the present was, like, what she was talking about. I don't know if because she's like, oh, like, she was going to take her to hell or something like that. I'm like, that's not a present, though. Like, I don't know. I just thought it was weird that they harped on that so much, and then I don't think they really, like, followed through, like, with what the present was. Because I was like, is this going to be bad? Like I said, she's going to throw up in my face. Because that's what it sounded like it was leading up to, but it didn't. So they said, so the exorcism was going on for, like, an hour, and I can't remember if it was Jane or Allison, but she, the one, because they were both holding, like, one of her arms, and she said that, basically, she said that she felt, like, really strong, like, it felt like she could have, like, thrown them across the room, like, when she was struggling and whatnot. So, you know, all the standard exorcism stuff ensues. She's, you know, writhing around and, like, doing demon-y voices and all that kind of stuff. And then they said, so, you know, the exorcism goes into, like, hour two, right? And then suddenly, Mary and the chair, like, she kind of, like, relaxes, like, oh, the demon's gone. And then she kind of, like, does that little grinchy kind of smile. And then, like, her and the chair, like, start floating, like, up into, like, so they levitated. I don't know how much it levitated in real life. But, I mean, it was pretty impressive, like, on the show. It was probably, like, I don't know, like, 3 or 4 feet, like, off the floor. And Zaphis said, you know, I've been doing this shit for, like, 33 years, and that was the first levitation that he had ever seen. So, like, her and the chair, like, woo, you know what I mean? So then, like, the priest just keeps on going and, like, pushing the, you know, the cross into her forehead and asking the demon's name. The demon said he was Belial, and I was like, okay, that's a pretty big demon, right? Isn't Belial kind of like a big? I know he's not just the deformed brother in the basket and basket case. You know, because that was, his name was also Belial. But I'm pretty sure Belial was like kind of like a big deal demon. But he said that's what his name was. And I guess like once the demon tells you his name, like you have power over him or something. Is that how that works? That's how it works in the movies. So long story short, too late. It worked in the end, and Mary's basically like, the demon left. She felt like super happy. She said she felt like a newborn baby, and that she could breathe again and fresher air and blah, 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 all the kind of stuff that you say. Zaphis also said after, though, like as a little bit of a warning caveat, he was kind of like, after, you know, you've been fucked with by the paranormal, especially if it's like a demon-y kind of shit or if it's like negative, then they don't forget who you are. So you always have to like, they always remember you. So you always have to like, you know, be on your guard and be vigilant because they're going to, like, follow you around everywhere and, like, try to, again, like, crawl into your orifices again if you don't watch them because you know how they do. I mean, I don't know how they do. Mary basically gives up paranormal research after that in deference to her son and probably because it's like, yeah, we don't want this shit happening again, so I'm not going on any paranormal investigations and getting any more demons, like, latching themselves on because that wasn't a good time. And basically, she said at the very end, she said, if you can survive demonic possession, I think you can survive just about anything. And I'm like, truer words are never spoken. Like, words to live by. Words to live by. Be good. I don't know. So, yeah, that was that episode.
It's a decent episode.
It was. Like I said, even though I'm usually more of, like, a ghost story person than a demon possession person, and that goes with, like, these shows and movies and stuff, too.
Yeah, there's no way to debunk this one. There's not enough witness, not enough evidence there. It's just testimony, and you just gotta take it at face value. That's the story.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much. That's the story.
Right.
And, you know, and like I said, I did like, this did have, like, two of the creepiest scenes, like, in the whole series in it. One of them wasn't so much a scene, it was just, like, the sound design, like, because I said that grunty piggy noise, that was, like, really, really creepy, and the whole car scene was, like, really creepy, just because of that actress's face was, like, so... spooky.
We got a lot of intelligent people in the comment sections mentioning the Book of Enoch and all kinds of scriptural stuff happening in the Russian Orthodox and mentioning the djinn or genies and everything. So I'm glad you guys are up on your religious mythology. You know, I call it mythology, not, and I say that with respect. I like mythologies, and there's a lot of truth in mythology. But it's obvious that if you read any of those books, these are stories. Stories to explain things. There may be some truth in it. Or at least it was true from their point of view. They're telling what they thought, you know, was happening. But, yeah, and then somebody talked about the Watchers in Book of Enoch. If you watch Aronofsky's Noah, they're in there too. Now, I don't know if the Book of Enoch, you know, there's going to be a bunch of different translations of it. I don't know if the Book of Enoch called them the Watchers. Maybe they did. But probably what they're talking about is God's sons. The ones other than Yahweh. So they're talking about the Baals, Molech, and all the other 72 other ones, which is strange because that's the same amount of virgins that you get when you go to Islamic heaven. But they were crossbreeding with women, making giants and Nephilim, just like in the Greek mythology, making demigods. So they get imprisoned in the earth, which they show in that movie. And they're trying to seek salvation so they could get released from the earth. It's basically talking about extraterrestrials, super beings from the stars. And that's actually kind of how they're shown in Darren Aronofsky's Noah. That's a great flick. Great flick. That's what they're talking about. Some religious people got mad at that. But I've never read the Book of Enoch, but I've been told all about it through, you know, Dr. Price and seen his interpretations of certain parts of the book. I know in general a lot of the stuff that happens in Enoch, which is part of the Apocrypha. It's an apocryphal text. It's not in the Old Testament, but priests read it back in the day. And evidently, according to Dr. Price, that story is accurate. Or the Darren Aronofsky movie Noah is accurate to the Apocrypha. It's a slightly different interpretation, but it's more of a modern interpretation. A lot of religious people got mad. That's not in the Bible. No. No, it's in Enoch. Yeah. Great movie.
Ben says the Jewish name for that book is the Book of Watchers.
Book of Watchers? Okay.
Yeah,
Enoch. Okay. Yeah.
Kevin says, we sing a portion of Mass in Latin now. I always wait for the possessed parishioners to go nuts. Yeah. Yeah, I'm just saying, I knew that they had, like, that they sang some of the portions. I just never saw, like, an exorcism specifically that they sang before. So I thought that was kind of neat that they had that on this show. Because I wasn't expecting it. Like, I was just expecting your standard, like, exorcism with a, like, get thee behind me, Satan, or whatever the fuck they say. And then he just started singing, and I was like, oh, that's nice.
It's funny you guys are talking about the Watchers in the Book of Enoch. It just kind of dawned on me, probably the reason why in Roman early Christianity, demons are spirits of the evil dead and not fallen angels, is probably because in the Book of Enoch they were freed. They a lot of them reached salvation when they helped Noah cause the flood. So it could be that. There's no mention of Satan. Satan was in heaven. And in the New Testament, you just talk about the dragon and the Antichrist, mostly. So it could be the reason why Roman Christians said that demons were the evil dead is because the sons of God got freed from the earth and went back to heaven, because that's what's shown in the movie. That's probably why. Roman Jews and Roman Christians probably said, no, all those guys, the Watchers, they all got freed. The only demons that are left are the spirits of the evil dead. It's probably what they're talking about. But only guy who would really know would be Dr. Price, or guys that know those stories real well. Because they're not really mentioned. Yeah, because those guys, I think, all got freed. We'll see. We'll see. Do you know the story that well, Jen?
No.
Yeah, I think they all got freed when they helped Yahweh create the flood. So, I think so. Maybe somebody in the comment section might know more about it. That's probably what happened. So the Roman Christians and Roman era Jews probably didn't believe in about these watchers or fallen angels fucking enchained into the center of the earth. They probably thought they all got reprieved and sent back to heaven or space. They went back to outer space where they came from.
Ancient aliens.
Yeah. It's Prometheus, basically. Ancient aliens is what they're talking about.
Yeah, like that crazy Greek guy with the hair.
Yeah.
He knows all
things
about
that
it.
Came from beyond the stars. Yeah.
Ben says the best part of Noah is where Tubal-Cain was hiding on the ark and snacking on random sleeping
That's
birds
right.
and animals.
Hey, there's only a limited amount of those. And he's this is good. Eating the damn birds and fucking kid. Yeah. They put them all to sleep and shit in there. That was great.
Nuggets.
Yeah, Tubal-Cain.
Yeah. See, that, like, explained, it's, like, why, like, they didn't, all the animals didn't eat each other, like, in the Ark. They're like, we put them all into, like, hypersleep.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just like if you were going to, like...
Didn't some of them get smaller? Or was that another one? I think they got small, too. And so they became more compact. Yeah. So they could store them. But, you know, yeah, they used fucking magic. God magic.
They could do like Dr. Pretorius and Bride of Frankenstein and like make them all really little and like put them in little jars.
Yeah, and there wasn't two.
And then
of
put
each...
water on them and like.
There wasn't. People mess it up that there was like male and female, two of each kind. No, it says that, what is it? There's two or three. It says two different things. In some passages, I think it says four pairs or five pairs of the clean animals and. Three pairs of the unclean animals. I don't remember.
Filthy animals.
There's a bunch of them. Of each type of animal, clean or unclean, there was more than two. There was a small breeding population.
I thought I just saw like a bug or something like fly in front of the.
Yeah, every now and then we get a gnat in here.
I don't know what that was. It was really weird.
It's fruit fly time. Little bitty gnats.
Oh yeah. Okay, yeah. Maybe that's what it was.
Yeah.
Or it was a demon.
It's a demon. Yeah.
Being like, he's gonna come in here and like fly up my nose. It's like, oh, you don't believe in me, huh?
Yeah.
Belial's gonna fly up my
nose.
What's
up, Poop?
What's the matter, Pookie?
She's yelling at the fan. Okay.
All right. Are we done talking about?
Yeah, I'll go
get
something to eat.
What you gonna make?
Got to finish up the taco meat.
Oh, okay. That's fine.
Okay.
Taco sounds good.
All right.
Yeah, we went for an hour and a half. Like I said, we went on like twice as long as the actual episode.
Yeah.
Because we were like talking about some other shit. Kevin said, I wish there was a Catholic event where you could bring someone you suspect to be possessed to do, like, a demonic cross-check. It'd be like going to, like, fucking AutoZone and getting them to do a thing, like, where your check engine light is on. Yeah. But it's, like, your check possession light. That would be fucking
hilarious.
Yeah,
Ben is saying that it sounds a lot like the Titans from the Greek. Yeah, it does. Because they had to get rid of the Titans, and then the new gods came in. They were playing a lot of that. If you look at, like, the Jewish pantheon, or the proto-Jewish pantheon, the people that were writing this shit, like back from the Septuagint era, were not modern. It was not the modern Jewish religion. It was the old Jewish religion, and it was more like kind of like the hillbilly version of the Greek pantheon. They all worship the same gods, including the Greeks and the Persians worshiped the same gods back in those days. So they were all basically the same pantheon. They just gave different names to them. You know, El Shaddai means father of the gods. They're talking about Zeus. The Greeks would have just called him Zeus. El Shaddai's wife was fucking Asherah, who was a woman holding two serpents. And later she gets demoted to a serpent herself in the story. But that's Hera. They're talking about Hera, you know. And then his sons, his main sons, and then all the kids that they created knocking up mortal women. It's the demigods, you know, in the Jewish pantheon, it was called, you know, men of great renown and what do you call her, Nephilim, you know, Samson, and Hercules. Well, not Hercules, more like a Jesus, but Goliath and Samson, you know, the giant men of great renown. They're fucking Nephilim, what they're talking about. The Greeks would call them demigods. But it's that same concept, you know.
All right, yeah. So we're going to wrap it up because we've been on for an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, we're going to do another Universal movie. We're going to do the OG, Dracula.
Yeah.
Talk about the Bela Lugosi Dracula from 1931. We're going to watch that tonight, and we'll talk about it tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Now we're going to go get some tacos.
Yeah.
So have a good rest of your evening, you guys.
Yeah, I responded to Ben. Yeah, you got it, Ben. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
In his comments, yeah.
And we'll see you guys again tomorrow evening. Good night.